Welcome to Rest Leads the Revenue Podcast, where we educate, enlighten, and encourage how we improve our quality of sleep to grow our business and improve your health and wellness. I am Donna D. Morin, your host and certified sleep science coach, holistic life coach, accountability fitness coach, author, national editor of the Black National Unity News, and a speaker. I am pleased to have my special guest, Natasha Hardy, sexability coach, sharing with us menopause and the best kept secret. Welcome, Natasha, and thank you for your time to share your experience and expertise.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be back. I always love to be on your show and be a guest here. I'm always so very excited to talk about sleep because I feel like everyone loves to have a good night's sleep. I know I do.
Yes, I definitely do too. And I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight because I didn't really last well last night. So I definitely know the feeling. So yes, so I'm going to get right with it. Now my first question, how in the world can menopause be the best kept secret when so many women suffer?
Well, let's look at what's happening here. First of all, most women who are probably menopause bound, let's say between the ages of 45 and 52 right now, they probably know very little about menopause. And the reason why is because they associate menopause with getting old. Now, I remember a few years back, quite a few years back when I was going through menopause, and I started going through menopause in my late 40s, and people were saying, what is wrong with you? What's going on? It was steamy. I would just burst out in a sweat. And when I said, I'm going through menopause, I had a friend, she hands down would say, no, you're too young for that. You're not going through that. You're too young for that. You know what I mean? Like, you're not old enough. So it was really interesting that people could not even wrap their brain around me going through menopause in my 40s. I knew nothing about menopause. I remember when I was 40 and I started asking about menopause, and the women that were slightly older than me kept telling me, you're too young for that. You don't need to know about that. So I went through my whole 40s in the dark about being in perimenopause. Now, menopause has three stages. It has perimenopause, menopause, which is the year that you go without a period, and then postmenopause. So why is it a secret? Because most women in my mom's generation didn't talk about it, okay? A. B. Women in my generation, a lot of them believe that you're getting old. These women think they're getting old, so they don't want to know about it. They only take notice when they start getting hot flashes and all the symptoms start to escalate. I feel like if women were properly educated about their reproductive system from early on, when you even starting with the menstruation cycle, if they understood that the menstruation cycle is going to go on and then you go into pregnancy, and pregnancy has its own set of circumstances with the reproductive system, to then go on to menopause, and that has its own set of circumstances. If we understood it as a whole, a totality, opposed to understanding it in segments like, oh, I'm just in the period phase. Oh, while I'm in the period menstruation phase, this is what I know. And we don't really know a lot about that cycle, right? And then I'm pregnant, and then we know about pregnancy. And then I'm not going to look at menopause because I'm just getting old and I don't want to be bothered with that. But it's coming, just like the next day, just like the next moment. Menopause isn't going anywhere. It's here to stay. You're going to go through it, whether you want to go through it or not, whether you want to face it or not. it's going to show up. So it's best to be informed about it so that when you're in your 40s and you start having symptoms during the perimenopause phase, you can be prepared for those symptoms starting in your late 20s, that you know that this is coming. And it's important for women to learn about the entire female reproductive systems and cycles that we're going through so that we're prepared when we come upon them. Because once the menopause starts and it escalates in your late 40s, it's like a runaway train. There's not really too much you can do to arrest your feeling, your experience that's going on with your body, because it's already moving along. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. And I asked that question because I hear so much, and so that's the reason why I was curious, like, how the best can see. But one of the key things that you said was educate. It's like you just want to turn the other way and don't even want to learn about it. And so, and like you said, look at it as getting old, but to embrace it as far as this is a natural process as everything else. That I really think is important, is educate and accept it. Now, the next question I do have is there anything a woman can do to prepare for that life-changing event besides educate? Like, is there any kind of natural herb to take? Is there anything else that they can do?
Absolutely. And one of the things I do want to say is that, you know, this whole reproductive cycle that we're in, it's not cookie cutter. Everyone doesn't have the same experience. Everyone doesn't have their periods the same. Everyone don't have the same type of pregnancy. Everyone doesn't have the same type of menopause process. So what can women do to prepare for menopause? Main thing is speak to your family members. I found out when I started speaking to my cousins, because my mom, God bless her soul, is not with us any longer. She could not tell me. However, I spoke with my cousins, and my cousin went through menopause at 45. So my family goes through menopause early. That was something I learned. Of course, I was postmenopausal when I learned that. So speak to your family members. Speak to the women in your family. Learn about what their process has been. You can do, of course, like you said, research, educate yourself. There's a lot about menopause that folks can learn about. Mostly women just think menopause is hot flashes and sleepless nights and mood swings. No, there's so many symptoms. There's about 24 or 30 some odd symptoms that's related to menopause. If you knew about them, you could kind of be like, okay, this is where I am, embrace it and work with yourself through the process. Implement exercise. Exercising helps improve your nutrition. So improve the nutrition and minimize the alcohol and caffeine you ingest. That plays a huge role in the hot flashes. And there are herbs that people can use, women can use, like black cohosh is for the hot flashes, and I believe ginseng supports mood swings. The thing I want to also say is there's something called vaginal steaming that women can do, and it's a practice that's been done all over the world where there's a set type of herbs or blend of herbs that you can use or women can use to steam, and they sit on a pod or a chair where the steam from the herbs go up into the vaginal canal, and it tones, it heals the vagina, and supports with the menopausal process.
I am so glad that you shared that information. And the reason why is because I know, well, lots of times the first thing people think of is like hormones, like hormone pills. And I heard that that can make it even worse. So it's good to know that there's other natural, holistic things that you can do to help to go through that process. So thank you for sharing that. The next question I have is, how is menopause and adrenaline fatigue different?
I wanted to also add about the hormone replacement therapy.
Sure.
Is that it does work for some people. It doesn't work for everyone. And also the vaginal steaming works for all phases of the reproductive cycle. I'm actually going to start teaching my granddaughter how to, they call it V-steaming, and she's 12. And for her, before she even gets into the cycle, there's herbs they can use to support her system before she gets into the menstruation process. So I just wanted to share that bit of information. The question you asked about how menopause and adrenal fatigue are different.
Yeah.
Well, both conditions are controlled by the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus in the brain. And they basically direct the hormone production in the ovaries. So, and the adrenal gland. My research has taken me to see is that the medical profession, one article I read was that adrenal fatigue isn't accepted as a medical diagnosis. However, I saw a study that the Harvard school did on adrenal fatigue, and I guess they're working on creating it, validating it, but there are symptoms from adrenal fatigue that seems to be very prominent among people who have adrenal fatigue, which, you know, adrenals are, if people don't know, are the small glands on top of the kidneys, and they regulate the output of adrenaline in the body. So adrenal fatigue it impacts the sleep, and it also creates symptoms that like a body ache, fatigue, nervousness, and digestive problems. That's what the adrenal fatigue does. And then the menopause fatigue, it's affected by the hormonal change, which the hormones that impact menopause is the lowering of the oestrogen, the progesterone, and the thyroid gland, and the adrenaline hormone is involved in the regulating of the energy in the body. So there is a slight difference between what happens with menopause fatigue and adrenaline fatigue. However, the adrenals play a role in the menopausal process and supports the female hormone factor. So what happens is women are affected because of all the changes that is going on with the menopause, and it impacts. Some people have energy issues. That was my experience. I lost all my energy, right? I wasn't able to sleep. It impacts you having hot flashes. And all of this is because there begins to have a big drop in how the body in how the body is regulating it, regulating the hormone output, and at the same time trying to create a sense of homeostasis. And because this is all happened simultaneously, the body cannot keep the homeostasis going as it continuously decreases the hormone output.
Wow, that's a lot. That's really interesting. And I know that someone will appreciate the information that you're providing for us in that way, because when you understand and you educate it, then you feel a lot better. At least that way that you can, I don't want to really say closure, but at least that you won't feel alone, like, why is this happening to me? And so you explain that, I'm sure would shed a lot of light on women who are going through the natural process of life. And so thank you so much for that. Now, the questions that you did mention, and now, is there anything, now, I always have heard that, like, the hot flashes at night, and it's almost like your own summer heat. And is there anything to do for, to get sleep at night if someone is having a hot flash?
Well, you know, this, the first question you asked, which was a lot of unpacking in that, the thing about menopause is, unless the person is really on top of managing their body from that early on, like I was saying before, in their 30s, in their 40s, and understanding that they are really on the cusp of their hormones starting to decline around 42, 43, by the time it really gets to in the momentum, it's very difficult to pull it back. It's gonna happen, and this is part of it. However, I'm seeing some research where you can balance your hormones, work towards balancing the hormones where the drop isn't so significant, where it's impacting you with your sleep and hot flashes. So, what can you do? There's a huge emphasis on the amount of stress people are under. And when you're under stress, going back to the adrenals, right? The adrenals produce cortisol that supports you when you're stressed. It kind of keeps you going, even if you can't. So, this is minimizing your stress then begins to minimize the amount of how your body is trying to regulate itself when you are in menopause. So minimize your stress, relax, rest your body, stay hydrated, don't overbook yourself. Like, maybe there was a time where you could do 15 things in a day. Now you may need to do 5 things in a day. That when you're overstressing, you're taxing yourself, when you're constantly overbooking, staying up late, stressing yourself out from one, putting out fires, right? From one stressful situation to the next. Limit the food intake. Manage your nutrition. Herbal remedies. Minimize the alcohol intake and caffeine consumption. All of this plays a role in how your body is regulating itself when the hormones are slowly but surely receding in your body.
Well, thank you for that. It's a lot to take in, and you definitely have educated us so much. And so I'm, like I said, I know women who, whether they going through it now or know someone that they can share information that would make a big, big difference. Thank you for listening to Recipe to Revenue. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Hello, this is Donetta D. Morin. I want to share with you my new book, 21 Days to Improve Your Sleep Hygiene and Lose Weight. It's a great book that provides guidance, tips, and techniques on how you can become more mindful, gain energy, and become more productive to grow your business. I appreciate you purchasing my book on Amazon, or you can go to my website, Donetta D. Morin, which is DonettaDMorin.com. Thank you for your support. I am Donetta D. Morin, Rest Leads to Revenue, and we have our special guest, Natasha Hardy. All right, Natasha, you gave us so much information. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Now, there's something that you have said, and what came to mind was self-care. I guess, do you agree, in what I'm hearing, that as you get older and your body's changing, that as women, we really have to learn about self-care. And like you said, what we used to do, we might not be able to do as much. But, you know, we sometimes want to run to people. And always trying to help everyone. And there's nothing wrong with self-care. There's nothing wrong with being selfish. And there's nothing wrong with saying no, but that affects our body. Do you agree that self-care is really key in managing menopause?
Absolutely. Self-care is major. And what I want to share here about most women, I personally believe when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. And most women tend to fall on the sword for their families, their communities, and in the process of that, they end up putting themselves on the back burner and taking care of everyone else and leaving themselves last, which leads to chronic ailment. And heart attacks are the number one killer of women in America, and it's the number one killer of people in globally. So, and African American women would rank highest in the women that are dying from heart attacks. So, one of the things I like to encourage women is to put themselves first. When you take a stand for yourself, your family, your community sees you taking a stand, and people then begin to follow suit behind that woman that has once fell on a sword for everyone. They see that she's taking a stand for her health, then everyone else starts taking a stand for their health. When she puts herself first and honor her dreams, her desires, and take care of her health, they're able to spread that to people around them. It also teaches them that I can have both, and I can support my family. I don't have to do everything for them, but I can support my family. I can support myself and I teach the people around me to see they can have it all. It's a win-win for everyone. I'm not doing everything for everyone. I'm doing for myself and showing other people how to do for themselves. So you kind of like, you know, you're delegating some of these tasks out to other people. And what's so powerful about this is when women start stepping into their power like that, we will not only reduce the amount of heart attacks women are having, it would change the health status quo for men and women, because everyone will begin to take this health, their health seriously and move forward with it and make it a part of their everyday life. Not like it's an extra thing to do, but it's inclusive. Now, how do you get good sleep at night? Because great sleep is so important. The self-care component of this is, I feel you get to create a bedtime routine. What does that mean? That means every night you would create a schedule. Every night you decide, I'm gonna prepare to go to bed. When I had my son and he was a baby, at night I would prepare him to go to bed. I would put on soft music, I would give him a bath, I would kind of, you know, have some sort of cuddly time with him, wind down where he would then, by the time he was ready to go to bed, he was relaxed and go to sleep. And we did that for years. And I was raised like that. If there was a bedtime routine, the TV is off, you know, no stimulating items. So for us, that would mean in this day and time, you turn off all electronic devices, your phone, mm-hmm. your tablet, your television, all that stuff, you would turn it off. You designate a time. And it takes time to prepare for bed. So let's say it took you 90 minutes to prepare to go to bed. Well, you turn your device off as soon as it's time to go to bed. You take your shower. You put on some relaxing music, something soft. If you don't want to hear music with words, I don't like to have music with words when I'm trying to relax. It's distracting to me. So I have jazz music on, or I'll play nature sound, like the sound of rain or the sound of waves hitting, crashing against the shore. I'll do that. I like that. That's very relaxing to me.
Yes, yes.
You take your shower or your bath. Some people get stimulated when they take a bath at night, so I understand that. You may take a shower. You then, maybe you want to go into a meditation where you have a meditation that you do, or you may do the meditation before you turn off your device, right? If you need a guided meditation, you can journal about your day and clear your mind. You can lay your clothes out for the next day, mm-hmm. right? You can do slow, deep breaths, 5 or 10 of them, to relax yourself. Yeah. And you want to make sure that you go to bed the same time every day, including the weekend. You want to make sure your environment, your room that you sleep in, don't have any televisions or your electronic devices in there, that your mattress and pillows and your bedding is comfortable and receptive. I remember some years back, I went to California. I stayed in an Airbnb. I got in this bed and it felt like I was in a cloud. I didn't know what was in that bed. I said, is there hay in here? Is it made from cotton? Is it a designer mattress? What is this thing? So I asked the lady. She had a 4-inch. She said, don't get no less than 4-inch. Get a 4-inch foam top covering to put on your bed, gel foam to put on your bed. I have mm-hmm. that on my bed. I have this 4-inch gel foam on my bed. I sleep like a baby. It's like I'm sleeping on clouds. I make sure I get 600 plus thread sheets. I make sure my blankets are soft. I purchase hotel pillows. I go online, but there was a time I was looking for all these pillows, and I would buy these pillows, and they were worth a crap. You know, they all say they're great, but the hotel pillows are the good pillows. I'm trying to secret hotel pillows.
Oh, that's true.
You can't go wrong with hotel pillows. And you purchase them. They're going to cost you a little money, but they worth it and they last.
Yes, it is.
You want to exercise daily. So daily exercising, you know, you may want to throw a little sex in there because that helps you with the exercise like we talked about before. And make sure your room is dark and that the temperature is comfortable. Some people like it cool. Some people like it warm. That's what you want to do. And then you want to avoid alcohol and any heavy meals or spicy meals 2 to 3 hours before bed.
Right.
That's what I got for you.
Whew, that is the truth. Yeah, so thank you for all of that. Now, the other question I have, how can your partner help? You know, of course, they don't understand or know what you're going through, but is there any one thing that you can share that you can say, you know, that the partner can help or as far as going through this process?
Certainly. And I just want to share with you, I'm glad you asked that, right? First of all, men have their own thing they're going through. By the time they're 40, men are going through something called andropause, which is male menopause. And it's a reduction in testosterone production, and it's age related. So it's onset, and it usually lasts anywhere from 15 to 20 years. Not all men go through it, but it's a deficiency in the testosterone that impacts men. And a lot of times men, once they hit around 40, 42, they have a slowing of their erection. It's not as firm as it once was. So the soldier don't stand at attention like it used to. And so they have their own thing they're going through. We are not in this alone. So men get to understand that. How do they support? They get to do research on menopause as well. They get to read up on it. They get to see what the process is women are going through. And they get to have compassion and understanding for their partner to know that this is a real, a trying time for her if they are not going through andropause. But if they're going through andropause, they have their own thing they're going through. They have symptoms like poor concentration, mood swings. They have loss of libido. That's women experience that as well in menopause. They have erectile dysfunction, loss of energy. They have difficulty sleeping, hot flashes and sweats. They also have breast tenderness. There's more, but I'm going to leave it there. There's more symptoms that men have for andropause, as well as they have treatments too for this. And they too can have hormone replacement therapy for them. There is health. They have to focus on the healthy nutrition, regular exercise, reducing the stress and anxiety. They can also get to eliminate smoking and minimize alcohol consumption. So you see, we're not in this alone.
That's interesting. I got more than what I bargained for, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. My plate is really full, but it's with great information because, you know, I always hear that women might say, oh, it sounds like he's going through his period, or he's going through the same thing, and never knowing that is really the truth. So thank you so much for educating us. Once again, thank you for staying with Rest Leads to Revenue. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is your host, Dr. Jennifer Jones Bryant, host of the Empowerment Journey podcast. I am so excited about my podcast because I am able to help others overcome their personal challenges to achieve professional success. Tune in on Fridays at 7 p.m. I look forward to you listening to my podcast, and I'm excited about your journey.
Thank you for standing with our special guest, Natasha Hardy, sexability coach. And Natasha, I want to thank you so much for all the information that you shared with us and how I know it will make a difference in someone's life, many of our lives. And I want to give you the opportunity to share with our listener audience how we can support you and how someone can contact you.
Sure. Once again, my name is Natasha Hardy of Hardy Life, because you, yes, you do deserve a hardy life. And I inspire the 50 plus woman to confidently embrace her feminine power and live a sexy, passionate life. Now you can connect with me or reach me at by email. It would be info@NatashaHardy. I'll spell that. That would be NatashaHard, as in delightful, 2 E's, as in excellent, .com. info@NatashaHardy.com. You can reach me on social media, LinkedIn at Natasha Hardy, and you can reach me on Instagram at Hardy Life, like my last name, HARDEE, Hardy Life. And you can also find me on Facebook at Hardy Life. And I'd like to extend to your audience, your listeners, those of you who are interested in some sex tips, free, complimentary to me, you can go to sexabilitycoach.com, and for an exchange of answering a few questions, you can get some free sex tips, as well as anyone listening would like to have a complimentary coaching session with me, a discovery session. You can reach me at my email, or you can DM me on the social media platforms I shared with you. Remember, Natasha Hardy from Hardy Life, because you deserve a hardy life. And I inspire the 50 plus woman to confidently embrace her feminine power and live a sexy, passionate life.
Thank you. Thank you. If anyone would like to contact me, I can be reached through my website, which is https://www.donettadmoring.com, and that's spelled DonettaDMoring.com. And as always, sleep heals.